This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, good Thursday to you. That means Throwback Thursday here on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us. You know, like, with schools open around the country, there's always, like, some schools that will open up on Tuesday and then some open up on Wednesday. Maybe some schools in the area open up a week later. It just kind of depends on the district and, you know, depends on the school system. And that's the kind of the same way the way we see the opening week of college football. We had week zero in college football last Saturday, and we had a couple of good games, you know, some good potential matchups. You know, Nebraska lost and UCLA played and all of that. But tonight there is a full schedule of games, and this might be where we feel like football is really now in our presence in 2021. Because when you get the games tonight and you couple with that with Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday, these games that extend all the way through into Labor Day weekend. And then it really starts to heat up for the National Football League, because Thursday, a week from today, the Dallas Cowboys will face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to start the season. So maybe for you, football season actually did start in week zero of the college football season. But tonight, I think you're really going to start to feel it with the media attention that's going to be on some games, including one in Knoxville where Josh Heupel is taking over the Tennessee Volunteers. Now, when we last left Coach Heupel, he was the head coach at University of Central Florida, otherwise known as UCF. And he was guiding them to an offense that was putting up over 40 points per game and lighting up everybody in the AAC. So naturally, his former athletic director, who's now the athletic director at Tennessee, just said, oh, come on in. We need a new head coach. And oh, by the way, we would need one with a good offense. And so tonight, a lot of people are looking at this going, well, he's got a quarterback in Michigan transfer, Joe Milton. Can they, you know, is this the coach that is going to take Tennessee and put him back near the top or close to the top? It's going to take a while. It's going to take a number of years, and he's got enough years to do it. But believe me, tonight's going to be one of those tests where they're going to see where the Volunteers offense is going. But the NFL, it's still about quarterbacks, as we are a week away from the start of the season. And one team in particular is not going the route of the New England Patriots and the New York Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're sticking with an aging veteran. And is that the right call? Ryan Pace thinks so in Chicago. We'll have his quote and coming up the thought process behind Justin Fields and the latest on where Deshaun Watson may or may not be going and what exactly would Houston do with him. It's all coming up. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Space, the final frontier.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it is a Throwback Thursday, and my goodness, this is one of those Throwback Thursdays we couldn't wait to get to. On this date in 1969, NBC canceled Star Trek.
What?
Canceled Star Trek.
How could they?
In 1969, on this date. Now, this was heading into the fall season, so they just didn't have it on the schedule.
Yeah.
This is how fans found out. It just wasn't on the schedule.
Tuned in one day, I'm like, where's my Star Trek?
There's no Star Trek after 3 years. But you and I were discussing the possible Throwback Thursdays, and we settled on this one, and I said, you know, when I was a kid, I used to watch Star Trek all the time.
It was on at
5 o'clock on Channel 50, where I grew up. It was one of those UFF stations, and I watched it all the time. But every time I see a Star Trek episode, I feel like I'm watching a brand new episode. I don't think I've seen all of them, and the show was only on for 3 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. And then reading up on it, I guess the third season was so bad, we don't really get to see the third season.
Wow, so we're only seeing two seasons, yeah. And I feel like I still, like, I guarantee you, if you threw a Star Trek episode on right now, I probably have not seen it.
Right.
And I feel like I've seen them all, but I haven't.
I feel the same way.
You know, like every Twilight Zone I've seen every Twilight Zone. I've gone through the marathons on New Year's Day too many times. But with Star Trek, every time I go watch it, I go, oh, that's a new episode. I've never seen this before. Yeah.
And what a weird, I'm not going to say concept, but plan for Star Trek. Because, I mean,
yeah.
you had the TV show, and then for like 20 years, nothing. You know? And then all of a sudden, well, it was probably like the early 80s, all the movies started coming out.
I think somebody have written a book about this, right? About where in the world, how did this maintain its popularity after its cancellation? Like, we kind of live in a society where if you're not around for a while, we kind of forget you about you, yeah. No matter how popular you are. If you haven't done anything, we kind of move on to the next thing. And somehow this stayed around in the popular culture long enough to go to the movies and make movies and then spring off all of these secondary shows based on the whole concept of Star Trek.
I mean, I think there's like three running right now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and all those actors are household names, and none of them could really do anything else.
Yeah. I mean, a show that for William Shatner to be the megastar he is for a show that was only lasted three seasons, it's pretty incredible, because that's not really how the business works. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, even though he was T.J. Hooker and all, forget it. I don't care.
He was Captain Kirk,
and that's it.
He was Captain Kirk as a police officer.
Yeah. It's like Leonard Nimoy wrote a book called I'm Not Spock, like just trying to tell people he wasn't Spock. And then eventually he just went, screw it, I'm Spock.
I'm Spock.
You know, I hosted In Search Of and whatever these weird shows he did. But yeah, he's like, you know what? Nah, why not? I'll ride this money train to the finish line as best I can. They all did. They ran it as far as they could.
George Takei.
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, did he do anything else?
I don't know if he did.
Or Nichelle Nichols, who I always, every time I saw that, I thought it was a misprint.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I thought her name was Michelle, because I never heard the name Nichelle.
Wow. So, yeah, you're right. And 3 years, 3 years on network TV, and then boom, here it comes.
Yep.
So
just not going to include you in the fall. Wait, what?
So on this date, 1969, Star Trek was canceled. So, all right, so the NFL season starts in 1 week. Are we ready? Are we ready to go with the NFL season?
You know what? Push it off another two.
Are we ready for football tonight? College football filling up our evening. There's a lot of games tonight.
Okay, you know what? Better question. Right? Are our spouses ready?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a better one, because I know we're ready. We've been itching for it for a year, but now it's like, honey, I'm sorry, I'm off for a few months.
So tonight at 6:30, Rutgers is going to play Temple. That's 6:30 Eastern time, I should say. And then all the way through until 10:30 tonight Eastern time, Southern Utah is going to take on Arizona State, who are ranked 25th in the country. In between, you'll get to see teams like South Florida and NC State. Number 24 Utah is in action tonight. Ohio State taking on Minnesota. Tennessee and Bowling Green. You've got Ball State and Western Illinois. Florida International against Long Island University. I'll take their word for it. And 22 Coastal Carolina taking on the Citadel in Conway.
Wait, what was that Long Island? Does the winner of that game play Bishop Sycamore?
Yeah, right. Does Long Island University take on Bishop Sycamore? Long Island University. They're the Sharks. I have never heard of them. Why have I never heard of them? I mean, I dive into the college football world like nobody's business, and I've never heard of Long Island University. Please, somebody tell me it's their first year of existence.
Yeah, please.
And I'm looking at their schedule right now, and they play West Virginia coming up next weekend.
Wow.
I know, and I've never heard of this team. You know what? During the break, I'm going to have to look them up, because now I'm wicked curious.
I'm thinking West Virginia was like, oh, there's a good tune-up.
Yeah, exactly. West Virginia was probably like, are you sure you exist? No, we're real. Trust us, we're real.
You're not going to Bishop Sycamore us, right?
Right. You're not going to not show up to Morgantown, right?
They probably started vetting them.
Exactly.
Just
give me
sure.
Five players that are currently on your team. Right? It's unreal. The Long Island University Sharks. I'm looking them up right now to see if they have a history, if they have a history of their schedule. And I'm taking a random year, and they do. 2019, they went 0-10.
Oh, there you go. There you have it.
I'm going to check like 2015. Please tell me nope, 2015, they didn't exist.
Okay, because my next question is, are they doing a home and home?
That's right. Yeah, can West Virginia go to Long Island University? When the Mountaineers actually go to Long Island University. So that's college football tonight. So in 1 week, Tampa Bay and Dallas play. So Ryan Pace of the Bears, the general manager of the Bears, says, no need to rush Justin Fields. No. Andy Dalton's a starter. I stick with this decision by Matt Nagy? Nope. We have Justin Fields, no rush. Now, look, there's good reasons to start Andy Dalton. I don't think the offensive line for the Bears is all that awesome. And I think you could take a rookie quarterback, give him a bad offensive line, and really stunt his growth. But Nagy and Pace are not going to survive if the team doesn't play particularly well. So this better be the right call. Like, this better be the right decision to start Andy Dalton. He better win you some games. Because the audience that you're trying to appeal to, the fan base, they're screaming for Justin Fields. You better make sure that Andy Dalton doesn't set the team back before you put Justin Fields in there. Because Justin Fields is not going to get the brunt of the anger if he goes into a 1-5 team and wins maybe two games and that's it. No, the brunt of the anger is going to go to the head coach and the general manager, who should have developed him a lot quicker to get him out there quicker. I think the amazing thing about being a team that lands one of these quarterbacks, one of these type of quarterbacks, right? Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, whatever. These high-profiled QBs in the first round, early in the first round, is that it is a Christmas present you want to open up right now, right? You kind of know what it is, but you don't know what it is. It's a big box. It's got a bow on it. And it's September. And you're like, I'm not waiting until December 24th or 25th to open that thing. Can I just open it now? And you're like, no, you have to hold on. But you really want to open it. And I think that's the problem, is that in some circumstances, opening up the gift is totally appropriate. Some situations, it isn't. Some situations, you better be careful. With the Bears, if I'm a Bears fan, I hate the idea that this decision to start Andy Dalton over Justin Fields may have more to do with job security for two people than what is really best for the team long term. We talk about this with general managers a lot. Like, if you're a general manager of an organization, whether it's baseball or football or basketball, whatever it is, you have to look at your teams this year, but you also have to anticipate next year, the year after, and the year after that. Right. It's one of the reasons why the Green Bay Packers went with Jordan Love. Like, there was going to be a time where Aaron Rodgers was going to quit and they wanted to be ready at that quarterback position. And maybe they should have contacted Aaron Rodgers. But the reality is their job is to look ahead and try to keep the team going forward. And if you're a Bears fan, and your general manager only is concerned about making sure that this season goes right enough so he can keep his job, and the development of your rookie quarterback is stalled, and that affects the team down the road when Andy Dalton doesn't perform particularly well, this is justifiable anger. But then again, if you put Justin Fields out there in front of an offensive line that's not that good, how do you get him back? A lot of quarterbacks don't recover from that. They lose everything. They lose timing. They lose confidence, right? They lose a feeling around them that they could be successful. They're already starting off three steps behind. It really is a big deal. You know, a lot of these quarterbacks go to lousy teams. I mean, I expect Trevor Lawrence to win a handful of games and that's it. But you kind of hope that Urban Meyer and that coaching staff is putting a situation around him so he can be better in year two and three and four and going forward, being a superstar quarterback. Sometimes we see quarterbacks not perform well, and they never perform well even when you give them the weapons that they've been so longing for. This is really a long-term dilemma. I mean, this is a problem that has plagued teams for a long time. If the coach and the general manager both feel like there's just too much hot seat here, I can't make the bold decision. I've got to make the safe decision. I think Vic Fangio did the same thing in Denver. But in that case, I think it was the right call, starting Teddy Bridgewater. All right, what about Deshaun Watson? Now, Brian Flores has publicly told his team and Tua Tagovailoa that Tua is the quarterback. While he didn't reveal details about that conversation, he is supporting Tua Tagovailoa as the starter. But there was a rumor that the Dolphins would be trading for Deshaun Watson. If you're Nick Caserio, what exactly would you take and what exactly will you do with the quarterback you don't want anymore? We'll discuss that next on Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Hey, your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking. Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Aquarius, 1969. On this date, Star Trek got canceled. NBC canceled it. But you know it survived in syndication. Everybody has seen it at least once somewhere on their cable channel.
Did they? I mean, pretty much because, you know, like we said before, we watched the show almost every single day.
Right.
You know, Monday through Friday, the Star Trek was on. So did they just, was the season on repeat? Or, I mean, the show's on repeat?
That's a good question.
You would just finish the season and they just roll right back into the next one?
Yeah.
They had to, right?
I think it did, yeah.
There's only a handful. I mean, there's like 70 episodes total of Star Trek.
Man, like I said, I feel like I should have seen all of them. I should have seen all of them, but I didn't. But I haven't.
Yeah, it was every day, right before the news.
Michael on Twitter, I remember my brother and I used to watch Star Trek on Channel 11 WPIX New York at 11 p.m. after Yankee games in the early 80s. Yeah, that's where you would usually find it, right? Whenever local television had to do something, they would go, here's Star Trek. Here's I Dream of Jeannie. Here's Gilligan's Island. Right? And that's what they would give you. These
probably, I would
rerun
say,
shows. Brady Bunch.
The most successful short-run TV show ever.
Star Trek?
Yeah.
I got to think so because it spawned all sorts of spinoffs and movies and merchandise and, I mean, everything.
A cult following. I mean,
unbelievable.
A whole culture, really.
You ever seen that Saturday Night Live clip of William Shatner where he tells people to get a life at a convention?
Yeah.
He says to that one guy, you ever kiss a girl? And the guy just looks in shame. And he goes, that was the evil Kirk. Because he felt so bad. Star Trek, it's amazing. I never was a Trekkie. I was a Star Wars kid, but I never was a Trekkie. I never absorbed the Star Trek universe.
But you got respect for him, right?
Oh yeah, sure.
You got
sure.
respect
it was
for him.
A good show.
And then, you know, the movies that came on later, it was like, all right, you know, and the newer version, with Chris Pine as Kirk.
Yeah.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. They're pretty good. So what's the latest on Deshaun Watson in Houston, man on the scene?
On the roster.
John McClain says that he'll never play a down for the Texans ever again.
I believe him.
I do, too. And nobody's more connected to the team that he covers than John McClain.
I mean,
he's amazing.
He took a few reps during summer camp, but, that was it. And the only story that you really got out of it was him walking like, why are you all filming me?
Because
waiting to see what you do next.
This is a weird scenario for Nick Caserio when you think about it, because here's the double prong problem, right? Is one, so you've got this quarterback that has value separate from all of the off field stuff, right? Just football player. He's tremendously valuable, right? He can bring a haul in, right? The people who really want a franchise quarterback, he could be that guy. He wants out. So, you know, wherever he lands, he's going to deliver like he's been delivering for years. The problem is this off field stuff is serious enough and is problematic enough that they have to gauge. He has to gauge what teams are willing to give because he knows that they're down valuing Deshaun Watson because of the uncertainty of where this off the field lawsuits and investigation is going to go. Here's the problem though. If you undersell him, like if you get rid of him for pennies on the dollar, if you will, in terms of a trade, right? You send him away for 2 6th round picks or something stupid like that. What if somehow, some way he's cleared of all this? What if this is somehow doesn't go the full extent, doesn't affect him at all? Then you've got rid of him for nothing when you could have gotten first round picks and a pick and a second round pick and some, you really could have got some value, but you can't keep him around and wait this out. If you really do want to let him go, there's one suggestion I saw online, which makes sense to me. And when I saw it, I think it was Peter King that brought it up. It was, if you're the Texans, why don't you just pay him and let him sit out the year? Right? Just pay him and say, look, we're not going to play you. You're not going to play for us. We don't want you to play. But in 1 year, here's your money. Go sit and deal with this And then in a year, we're going to see where we're all at with this. Now, that seems to make sense to me. Unless, of course, some team is like willing to gamble and take a chance that maybe, just maybe, this isn't going to derail his football ability in term, or his football availability, and just offers you the moon for him. But that seems what I would do if I was the Texans. If I honest to God don't want him to play for me, then he's not playing for me. But I have to be careful because I can't give him away for nothing. And I don't know what this is going to turn into. This off-field stuff is going to turn into these lawsuits and this criminal investigation into all of this. This is a serious matter. He's got to go handle it. I kind of agree with what Peter King pointed out on Twitter. Go out, spend, sit out. Here's some money. It's okay. We'll pay you. We'll be fine. And then in 1 year, we'll reevaluate this. In 1 year, we'll have an answer to all of this. And it seems the way I would go if I was Caserio, because I don't want to get caught taking, you know, again, a lower value for Deshaun Watson just to be rid of him. Right? You know, it's not similar because the circumstances aren't exactly similar, but it was, remember when the Packers, there was talk about trading Green Bay, and people were just assuming that the Packers would just do this. But there are circumstances that would make you say, not yet, not today. And I think that's a situation in Houston. Not now. Unless it is an amazing haul, not now. And just take the financial hit. That's fine. Take the financial hit. But just do not let him play a snap for you. But the team that is linked to him, Miami, and the problems that came about, the openness of the media to discuss the possibility of Deshaun Watson going to the Dolphins and how it affected Tua, and then Brian Flores having to have a sort of a team meeting to say to the team and to Tua that Tua is going to be the starter and that they 100% back him and that there is nothing to this. I understand why Brian Flores had to do that, because Tua was bothered enough by those rumors. You don't like those things. You know how the business works, but it still doesn't make it easy to accept. You know, it's like if you've ever gotten laid off from a job and they go, well, it's a business decision. You're like, I don't care what kind of business decision it is. It still hurts. Like, it's not personal. It's business. It is personal. I understand what you're saying, but it's still personal to me, right? It's the same thing. If you're a quarterback, young quarterback of a team, and just the atmosphere around the city is that there's a possibility that this other guy is going to come in and immediately take the thing you have, it doesn't sit well. And you know, you can sit and go, yeah, I know they're supposed to win games. I know he may give them the better chance to win. I get it. But at the same time, you're like, but I don't like it. And I don't have to like it because of the circumstances. And I think that's the thing that Brian Flores is trying to calm down. It's like, maybe, just maybe, somebody leaked something or the media is speculating. But as of today, you're our quarterback. We believe in you. We're going forward with you. And by the way, when we play New England to start the season, you're going to be the starter. And the whole team is going to know you're the starter. Because Deshaun Watson can't come in right now and be the starting quarterback. He's hardly taken any practice. It's been a long off season. He's got to know our system. You're our guy. And that went a long way. It's amazing that, like, we're still in, I love how a week from the start of the season, we still have these unanswered questions about quarterbacks. Who's going to be the quarterback in Houston? Who is the guy that they're talking about? Tyrod Taylor? Is he the guy?
He's the guy. He's the man. Guy?
Good for him. I'm glad he landed on his feet.
Until he gets stabbed in the lungs, yeah, again.
Until something comes around, right?
And then behind him is David Sims.
Oh, David Sims.
I think he's number two. He could be number three. I'm not sure.
Wow, that's great.
So there's also a lot of, like, you know, underlying talk of, like, hey, there's a quarterback that just became available. Let's bring him down.
Let's bring him in. All right, hey, coming up next, something we talked a little bit about yesterday that I want to expand on a little bit more, and that has to do with whether or not you can yell at a golf tournament, because a lot of heat is coming Bryson DeChambeau's way. We'll continue with that conversation next on Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with the Wake Up Call on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. This is a Throwback Thursday. If you're new to the show, we go back in time on Thursdays, and 1969 is where we're heading. So this is the music that you're hearing, because on this date, Star Trek was canceled by NBC. Why would they do such a thing? Just Captain Kirk and,
you know what,
Dr. Spock.
Let's be honest. Might be the smartest thing they ever did.
Yeah, that's true. Probably up the popularity.
Yeah, because had it continued and the show really took a nosedive, then maybe Star Trek wouldn't be.
Yeah. Were you a fan of the movies?
You know what? What I tell people, I like four.
The one with the whale?
The one with the whales.
Yeah, that seemed to be the better one.
I don't know why.
That was pretty good.
I think the whole idea of them being from the future in modern-day San Francisco, thought that was awesome.
You didn't like where Spock died saving the Enterprise?
Nah, Wrath of Khan.
And just was killed.
Yeah, although I think that's the one I've seen the most.
Sent his body out into that planet, just, the new Genesis.
Yeah, just launched him out of torpedo.
Just launched him out. Yeah. You didn't like the one where they went to that alien who they thought was God, and he turned out not to be God, and Kirk asked him, why does God need a starship? Remember that one? That one didn't make much sense.
What about The Undiscovered Country?
Is that six?
I don't know.
What are we doing? We're trying to name all these movies we barely remember. Right now, if you're a Trekkie, you're probably going, these guys don't get it.
They don't understand
a thing. Goodness gracious. All right, you know what I don't understand is this story you did yesterday with the PGA Tour saying if you yell Brooksy,
hey, Brooksy!
You're going to get kicked out of golf tournaments. And what it's making, what it's turning into Bryson DeChambeau. I said this yesterday, and it's more evident today than I've had 24 hours or close to 24 hours to process it. If I'm Bryson DeChambeau, I come out and say, I completely disagree with this. I'm sorry I lost my cool, but I don't want anybody kicked out. His reaction to being called Brooksy led to this, and now he is going to be the softest guy on tour.
Yes, he is.
There is no other way around it. He is going to be the soft. There is no sympathy going to be. There's going to be no people supporting this idea. This is this is a nightmare look for him. This is a terrible look for him to be the baby that has to, ooh, I didn't like hearing that, and so you should leave. Goodness gracious. For a guy that bulked himself up like he did, I mean, he's pillow soft when it comes to this. I would have just welcomed it and been like, you know, I got fans. He's got fans. And that's just the way it's going to be. I'm just going to let my game do its thing. But instead, he yelled at that guy. And now he's never going to overcome this. He does not. There's no PR spin to this, right? That you reacted in a way that made the tour help you. And it's like when you go to school when you were a kid and you're being teased and then your mom gets out of the car to confront the people that are teasing you. You're like, Mom, I appreciate it, but this makes it worse. Right? Like, I know you're trying to protect your baby boy, but it's making it worse now, Mom. I don't know what to tell you. Or you go to the principal, your mother goes to the principal and then the principal has to act on their behalf to protect you. You're like, you just made it worse. Before, they just wanted my lunch money. Now they're going to beat me up after school. Thanks, everybody. Like, there's just what he got from the PGA Tour is what you get from your mother when she confronts your bullies, right? He's like, I lost my cool in a tournament that was getting away from me, right? I shouldn't have been in a playoff in the first place. This playoff is getting away from me. I lost my cool, but I absolutely didn't need the PGA Tour to then create a rule where you could kick people out, people who paid money to go to a golf tournament to protect my feelings. I'm not looking for that. I just had a meltdown. One meltdown that would go away, but now you've made that meltdown etched permanently in every tournament I play in. I don't know how he spins this, so that he gets back into some level of respectability, because right now he's a baby. I mean, you could come out and be against it, I guess. You can beg the tour to rescind it, but then it just is going to open up a can of worms. Like, if the PGA Tour came out tomorrow and said, all right, you can yell Brooksy at Bryson DeChambeau and stay in the tournament, they're going to yell Brooksy every second that he's at the tournament.
Well, I mean, his PR team's got to get ahead of this. I think so, too.
Yeah.
I'll put it on them because, I mean, you know, Bryson, to me, he doesn't seem like he's smart enough to realize that this will make him look bad.
It's off. It's a terrible look. It's just an awful, awful, awful look.
So I put it on his PR team to go, hey, Bryson, I know you probably don't like it, and just lie to the camera and say, you know what, like you said, I overreacted. But, I mean, the cat's out of the bag. There's going to be people who are going to a golf tournament. You know, maybe maybe they only want to go once. Maybe they're not having any fun. Maybe they thought it was going to be different. People are like, I'll yell Brooksy.
Have you ever gotten, and I'm sure you have, but have you ever gotten justifiably angry at something where you are yelling, you're right, you're yelling, and there's like a rush that comes your way? Like there's an emotion, like there's some sort of thing that makes it's exciting. Like when something is like, this should not have happened to me, and then you're angry, and you're even like your boss is like, nah, he let him go because we really screwed up. Let him do his thing because this is not good at all. I'll tell you what happened to me many years ago. I was doing a morning show, and the local zoo crew that was down the hall from my building, they decided to have an intern light a bottle rocket into our studio while we were doing the show, like literally a firecracker, like a bottle rocket. And he lit it inside, and he put it under our door, and we were in a very small room, and the door hit our traffic girl in the foot, and she was wearing sandals because it was summertime, it was 4th of July, hit her in the foot, but luckily it ricocheted off her foot and bounced against the wall, and then blew up. And when it blew up, it created some smoke that was in the room, and we had to leave the room. And I was furious. And so when we were in the conference room with my GM, my program director, their program director, and the mornings, I started yelling, screaming, and I was justified. And I remember my general manager, she just sat back and she said, no, you guys got to take it. Like that blew up in his studio. It hit the girl's foot. It could have blown up her foot. Could have hit her foot and exploded. So I was like yelling. But when I was doing that, I was like, I had some power, right? Like I had some power. I was justified in my anger. I was justified in my yelling. It made me, okay. So now put that in the context of Bryson DeChambeau. Okay. He's a professional golfer, right? He is the entertainment portion of the program, right? He is the guy inside the ropes, and he is hearing from some ticket holder, Brooksy. And he's got power, right? So he can turn around and he can go, you out, get out. You're not going to do that to me. No, out. And there's a rush, right? There's a rush to that. That's what I think he had. That's what I think he felt. But here's the problem. The ramifications are now that the PGA Tour has to step in and protect him from these bullies. And now he looks terrible. Absolutely terrible. And so that endorphin rush or whatever it is that rises inside of you when you're yelling. Now it's penalizing him because the PGA Tour is saying, you can't, don't yell at him. He doesn't need that. And now he's got to be like, yeah, well, I guess mommy's protecting me now. But like I said yesterday, and it's worth repeating, these guys don't grow up in environments where there's adversarial relationships with the people they're playing for, right? Where they're showcasing their skills in front of, right? Johnny Manziel, as a freshman, was booed in every SEC stadium he went to and thrived on it, right? He thrived on going to Tuscaloosa. He thrived on going to Oxford. He thrived on going to anywhere and playing college football because he loved it. There are athletes who grow up in high-profile high school football programs where there's a real rivalry. They thrive in that. Basketball players are the same way. Baseball players, to some extent, are the same way. But golfers aren't. Right? Golfers never get in front of that. You never go to a tournament to say, God, I hope Jordan Spieth loses today. You go to a tournament, and if he hits a shot within 3 feet, you give him the same respect as your favorite golfer if he hits it to 3 feet. There's no rooting against. There's just enjoying the display of skill. It's just, it's enjoying the display of talent, and that's what they they've lived in their whole lives. So the moment there is some sort of enemy turf, if you will, where the crowd is a little bit, they don't know how to handle it. It's one of the reasons, again, at the Ryder Cup, there are golfers who play for the Ryder Cup who've had excellent seasons, but they get there and they melt down because they've never played in front of a crowd that is actively rooting for them to fail, right? They never experience that. They never stand up in front of a tee going, this whole audience, this whole fairway, the 10 deep are rooting for me to fail. Not even the people that played head-to-head against Tiger Woods where they knew the crowd was rooting for Woods. But because they never felt it. They never got laughed at when they hit the ball out of bounds. Or they got you know, like that booing and that adversarial feeling of failure. Right? When they miss a putt, people groan as if they miss the putt themselves. Even again, when you feel like, man, everybody's pulling for Tiger to win this thing. Right? Bryson never experienced that, but he's going to experience it now. There's going to be ways that those fans are going to start to get under his skin in some capacity, because it's wide open now on Bryson DeChambeau.
I mean, do other golfers take advantage of this as well?
Good point.
I'm not trying to hint anything here.
Yeah.
You know, does Brooks actually go, you know, does somebody, like, does Brooks caddy go, Brooksy? You know?
Right.
And he's like, oh, no, I'm just calling Brooks here.
What if Brooks Koepka said Brooksy?
Well, I think that would be obvious.
Yeah. Like, but what if he did? Do they kick him out of the tournament?
Does he turn to the PGA and go, I'm trying to bring back the third person?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah, that's right.
That trend in the
90s? Yeah. That's right.
Rod enjoys radio.
Oh, my goodness. So it's good. Yeah. So there, I don't know. This is a bad, bad look. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, as we continue with Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
1969, Star Wars canceled by NBC. That's what we're doing for Throwback Thursday today. Star Trek. Did I say Star Wars?
Well, you know what? You already said which more of a fan you were.
That's true. Star Trek canceled by NBC. And that's why we're doing 1969 music. Now, for those of you who are young, I know it's a long time ago, 52 years going back in time. See, think about this. In 1985, that would be like going back to 1933.
I know. I hate when people do that. It, right? Really, like, you know, we're farther away from 85 than 85 was to 55 or something.
I know.
You know, those weird things, like, when you're going back to the future. No.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not a fan of that talk.
It is weird. It is bizarre because it feels like so long. I mean, just thinking about things I remember and just putting it into year context, I'm like, that's not true.
Yeah, how did we get here?
40 years ago that happened, or 42 years ago that happened? I'm like, no, that can't be right. Then you start thinking, are the people involved still alive?
Well, see, that's the crazy thing, right? You're like, we're getting to that age now where we can remember 40 years ago.
Right.
Certain things 40 years ago. And it's like, that can't be right. That can't be possible.
Yeah. One of my favorite memories as a kid in sports was the 1982 divisional playoff game between the Chargers and the Dolphins. The one where Kellen Winslow had to be carried off the field because he gave everything on a hot, humid day. Sent the Chargers to the AFC championship game against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I remember it like yesterday. I remember the Chargers getting up to a big lead and the Dolphins coming back, and they used a hook and ladder play. And it was fantastic. I mean, it was just a fantastic game. And it was back and forth, Uwe von Schaman and Rolf Benerschke missing field goals until finally the Chargers won it and went to double overtime. And again, like I said, Kellen Winslow had to be carried off the field. I'll remember it probably forever. As long as my brain can remember things, I'll remember it forever. That was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 40 years ago. It's going to be 40 in January. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, that's insane. Just insane. So 1969, when we go on Throwback Thursday. But it is, like, think about Shatner and those other guys that are still alive from that show, doing that show, right? Just, yeah, that was 52 years ago.
And Shatner kind of had, like, a resurgence in his career, too.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much the other guys. I mean, I know most of them are dead, but I think Michelle
Nichols. Yeah, most of them are dead. Like, McCoy's dead. Spock is dead. Yeah. Scotty's dead, right? So most of them are
dead. Yeah, but Sulu is still alive. Uhura.
Sulu's still alive. Uhura's still alive. Kirk. Is Chekhov still alive?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right, so honoring them today. Goodness. Oh, so coming up next hour, we've got the good, the bad,
thing
and the dumb.
With Chekhov? I think his son was Boner in
No, that has to be an urban legend. You got to look that up. We got to look that up. If that's true, that's awesome. That's awesome if that's true. That has to be one of those urban legends. That has to be. We got to look it up at the top.
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now. I don't know why that stuck out in my head.
So Boner from Growing Pains? His dad was Chekhov? That can't be right. That can't be
right.
Is it really?
Yeah, Richard Boner Stabone.
That's awesome.
His dad was Chekhov. Oh, look at that. He was born the same day I was. Well, a few years earlier than me.
Well done, Ron. Well done. If I learn anything in this three-hour show today, nothing will beat that. Nothing will beat that. That's incredible. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.